Welcome to the Indestructible Wealth Podcast. This is the place where we help young entrepreneurs and professionals to make, keep, and grow wealth that you can enjoy now and for years to come. I'm your host, Jack Gibson, a serial entrepreneur, founder of multiple seven and eight figure businesses, and wealth building strategist. Each week, I'm going to share my tips, resources, and secrets to help you create a plan and build the life you've dreamed of. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Indestructible Wealth. And, you know, here's what happened. Last week, I had a networking conversation, a Zoom, with my buddy Benson. He's the one who introduced me to Zach, who was the young man who still remains anonymous, but he was crushing it in business and made a undisclosed amount of money that we had to beep out so that he could protect his anonymous stature. He asked me a question on that call at the very end, and I started just like, wow, like this is what I'm put on earth to do, is to answer this question and why I created Indestructible Wealth. So Benson says, hey, what advice can you give me as a 24-year-old? So I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it's game on, it's on. And then we get to the end. And I'm like, oh my God, I should have recorded that. Like, this would be awesome podcast. So Benson's back on. Benson, thanks for being on. And you and I are going to have a coaching session, and the followers, the listeners get to hear what advice I'm going to give to you, and it could help them as well. So Absolutely. Thanks for being on, buddy.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. You know, going back to the conversation we had prior, and I totally felt you like, wow, I wish that was recorded just so I could even go back and listen to it when I need. So it was great.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Benson. What's where are you at right now in your stage of life, business, investing? What's going on?
Gosh, you know, I've been in the business world for almost 4 years now. I got my first large internship in 2019. Fast forward 2 years later, I became a financial advisor.
Nice.
So that's what I'm doing full time now. Primarily working with small and mid-sized business owners, designing, implementing, and managing retirement plans. I also do individual strategic financial planning as well. So that's where I'm at right now, running full speed, building relationships, building my book of business, and trying to create this personal brand that's going to last me my entire career.
Yeah. All right. Good. So what are your main asset classes that you're recommending to your clients? Are you mostly like stocks and bonds, or do you have other things that you can do as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would say it just depends on the client's unique situation, you know, whether they're younger or older. You know, talking about the market like last year, you know, there's different strategies that we can take to not only capital appreciate, but have some income strategies. So looking at different things like that. Don't want to go too specific into the type of, you know, products, but there's been some strategies we're taking to have a client be well diversified.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So, hey, man, this is your time right now. Like you're getting high value. I charge, you know, a lot of times I charge and I get $700 an hour to do what you're about to get right now. So
awesome.
I know that you value it. I know that you're going to take it seriously. Right. So, hey, man, fire away. Where do you want to begin and what can I help you with?
Gosh, you know, I really want to start with that personal branding, right? You know, you've created a great platform, you know, for people to, you know, listen to seek value from. And I think that's astronomical. So, you know, that personal brand, you know, how do you start? How do you maintain it? And how do you create like a legacy with it? You know, how did you come upon that?
Yeah. You know, when we were talking last week, you know, your question was, hey, what advice can you give a 24-year-old, right? And I said, well, you know, if I were you, what would I be focused on at 24, being young, just really getting started in the business world and knowing what I do know now? And I was saying, oh man, Benson, if you had to do anything, I would absolutely focus on building your own personal digital brand. You know, they say that attention is the new oil.
Wow. Right?
What does that mean? Well, back in early 1900s, there were people that literally were completely broke. And then if they hit oil on their land, they go from completely broke to overnight, they're millionaires. And attention today is the new oil, meaning that if you can figure out a way to create a brand, a digital presence to where you have routinely have a lot of attention, you have a lot of people that are consuming your content and consuming your message, then essentially you're going to be able to print money. You're going to be able to create It's like having a blank checkbook. You're going to be able to write your own check. I think, especially for something where you're promoting something that creates and it demands a high level of trust, right?
Correct.
If people are going to invest their money with you, then they want to know what you're made of. They want to know what your philosophy is. They want to know your credibility. They want to get to know you as a person. What are your values and what are your strategies?
Absolutely. And,
you know, the old school way of growing a financial, you know, what would you call it? Consulting or would you a financial management?
Yeah. Financial roadmap, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. You need a book of clients that are bringing, you know, money to the table, right? So
yes.
In order for that to happen prior to today's digital age, you know, most people would what? They'd cold call people. That yep. was a big way to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're still trained to do that. I would throw that handbook off the table, throw yeah. it out. And I would be strictly focused on building your own personal digital brand where you've got a platform of multiple distribution channels. So, you know, here, what are your options, right? I mean, you can set up a podcast.
Okay.
You could set up a blog, but if you're going to set up a blog, you've got to know how to get it Google friendly. So in other words, how to get SEO optimized. So we can talk a little bit about that. You obviously can do social media. I think, you know, you're young, you're got energy. You're a good looking dude.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, man, I got you.
Likewise.
I was told I was ugly on social media. I'm probably a 7 out of 10.
You tell him, Jack. Ugly. You tell him. I
mean, that's what you want to be doing is really focusing on how can I get people to know, like, and trust me? How do I build up this audience of people that are consuming my content? Right. Of course, social media, you know, what I found in building both my real estate business, high return real estate, and then building Indestructible Wealth and I thought it was, until I really saw it for myself, I thought it was kind of BS. Everybody that really was a guru or really had some serious success, they all said the same thing. They said the strength of your business is in your email list.
That's huge.
And I looked, and when I started Indestructible Wealth, I was pretty, pretty much just not really doing much with my email list. Like I'd have it, you know, I'd have people register and they'd get the free lead magnet, which was essentially a way to get people to, you know, opt in and give you their email address in exchange for something of value, right? So when I first started, I had a 7-part video series, and then now it's my 12th passive income investment that you can, you know, but then, you know, they get a few emails in the beginning, and then I wasn't emailing them on a consistent basis. And then it realized that when you're building up a personal brand, every email list is the only thing that you actually control and own. Mm. When you're on any other platform, and you control your website and your blog as well.
Right.
But when you're on any other platform, any TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, any of those, you don't actually own them. You're on rented real estate. Mm.
Yes.
So you're playing by their rules and they own your audience.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know that they own your audience and that you don't? Well, they can take it away from you at any time that they want, and they have.
Because you're utilizing their platform.
You're utilizing their platform. So you could grow up a huge database and then, you know, for some odd reason, you know, your account shut down. And then you had all this time and energy and money invested over a long period of time. I saw a guy, he had over 400,000 Instagram followers and his account was just shut down.
My gosh.
He ended up getting it back, but it was out for like a couple of weeks. He doesn't know exactly. They never told him why it was shut down, but
it's awful.
It's terrible, right? And you could get hacked. Those things can get hacked and then, you know, they can get taken away. So an email list is something that you absolutely control, you own it, and you can actually also control the people that are receiving the message. For example, When you're doing an Instagram post, are you posting on Instagram social?
Yes.
What are the channels that you're using right now?
Just my personal Instagram. I do have a business Facebook page as well as a Twitter and my LinkedIn. So I probably say the most activity right now is on LinkedIn. Currently building my Facebook and Twitter. Instagram is not yet vetted with compliance for business purposes, but I do have a personal Instagram.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. And LinkedIn, you're good. You can post about business and everything there. Okay. Yeah, and that's probably your best platform anyway for who you're trying to reach, because that's where people that are really serious about business that have resources are going. You don't get, it's a more serious platform. Like it doesn't, there's not the, you know, it's not as lighthearted as like Instagram. It's definitely more professional and serious.
Yeah.
But you don't get trolled. I've never been trolled on LinkedIn. People are professional. They may they may disagree, but they disagree professionally.
Correct.
Whereas Instagram.
A lot of back and forth, huh?
Well, the things that people have said to me, and you know, I'm a competitive dude. Like if you challenge me and you disrespect me, like I have a hard time just keeping my mouth shut.
Fair enough.
I have a sarcastic nature. I can give it right back. You're probably most people are gonna struggle to beat me in a clash of wits, but
you're gonna hear
it. Doesn't serve me at all by arguing with, you know, idiots. So I have to just, most of the time, there's sometimes I can't help myself, but I have to delete them and all of that. But LinkedIn being more professional, you know, platform with people with resources, you know, you're not gonna get that. But here's the thing. Okay, here's my main point. Any of those, you cannot control when your audience that you've built up gets served up your posts and your content as well. It, in best case scenario, and a lot of them, you know, if just 2 or 3% of your audience, of your followers, see your posts, like you did pretty well. Okay. So whereas I know that when I send out an email to my list that 100% of them are going to get it. They're going to get it served up. Now, whether they consume it or not, I can't control that so much.
Right.
I can influence it with the headline, the subject line, you know, making sure that it causes them to want to open it and to consume the information. I can control some parts of it with the value that I keep putting out there on my email list. So if my value continues to stay strong, you know, that's going to cause people to say, hey, man, he's got something good to say. I want to open up, you know, and I want to consume it.
You're going to get a lot more traction with that email list.
It is, you know, and I think most people, entrepreneurs especially, we get so busy with posting on social and trying to generate leads and driving traffic that we forget that statistics show the main place that you actually convert leads into buyers is through your email list.
Wow.
So the way it was explained to me, which makes sense, Benson, is social would be like you're at a busy bar and you know, you start chatting with a girl that you find attractive, right? Like that's social, right? It's very surface level, right? That may or may not go anywhere.
Right.
Most of the time it doesn't go anywhere. Although I did meet my wife in a bar. We met in
I love it.
We met in a dive bar in in St. Joe, Michigan. That
you probably never forget that night.
I'll never forget it. I mean, you know, how many of these surface level conversations did I have with other girls that just never went anywhere, right?
It's nothing.
But I, you know, I did get one there that I got my dream girl there, right?
I love it.
But so that's kind of the surface level. And then you know, it's really where you're really diving into a relationship. You maybe have them over for dinner. That's your email list.
Yeah.
That's where you're really doing a more intimate connection with your followers.
That's
where you're really going to be able to, you know, convert and seal the deal. Right. So whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
But I was thinking back, and what really made me get my act together with Indestructible Wealth is that in my other business, High Return Real Estate, we had sold over 200 properties, millions and millions of dollars of sales, probably, I think, around 15 to 20 million in sales that we did.
Astronomical.
And that was on a 2,000 to 25 person email list, not a huge list at all by any stretch.
Wow.
So I was like, why am I not paying attention to things that I've done in the past that have worked?
Create a result.
Yeah. So I, about 3 or 4 months ago, I got serious. I created my passive income playbook. It's my weekly newsletter. I really went after upgrading my welcome sequence, which is that's when somebody opts into your email.
Okay.
This is the automation emails that go out to them that you don't have to manually push them out. They just go automatically in a sequence based on a certain set of things that you want to talk about in a certain order.
Right.
And you can even set, hey, I want this to go to them, an email to go to them every day for the first week. I want it to go to them every other day. Maybe I want it to go to them once a week for, you know, 8 to 10 weeks. You get to decide what you want that welcome sequence. And that's going out to them automatically on your behalf. So that's really nice. You can
pretty automate awesome,
it as well. Okay. So yeah, that's the most important part of my opinion of building a personal brand and really being able to convert that personal, that digital influence into actual
email list
relationships,
yeah,
into buyers, into sales and into revenue. It's in the email
list. That's really good. That's really good. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
For that. So really turning
back. So do you have an email list?
I do have an email list. Yes. From our current book of business. Yes.
Okay. And I'm guessing it's pretty small at the moment.
Yes. The personal side is small. The business owner side is pretty vast. Yeah. So I kind of jumped into a partnership with a PEO company that I interned at prior. The plan has grown significantly in the past 5 years or so. We're constantly getting leads from that source from the business side. Now, the individual side, the email list is small. That's okay. What I
mm-hmm. Oh, that's what you need to work on is your own mm-hmm. personal brand.
Yes.
Personal email list. That's just 100%. That they're connecting with Benson.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So there's a few things about social that I've learned, and I have not figured out social. You know, I was telling some people the other day, we were discussing like doing a social media campaign for a marketing strategy. I have a syndication opportunity. So it's a opportunity where you can invest into self-storage or into a car wash. And those are, you know, it's typically 50 to 100K is the minimum investment to be able to get in, right? Wow. And so I've done two raises in storage. I did one 2 years ago, then a year ago. And then this year we're raising capital for a car wash syndication, which I think is, I've already had out on my podcast, or by the time this gets released, it will be out there. And I told these guys, I'm like, guys, you know, it's easier for me to get somebody to invest $100,000. Okay. Which is not an easy deal. Like that takes some time to be able to build up the relationship and the trust and the credibility to be able to do that. But it's been easier for me to do that than it has for me to get a social media post to go viral.
Wow. That's kind of perspective right there.
That's perspective. So social media being a very competitive, crowded marketplace, there's 20 million videos that are uploaded like per hour or something crazy.
That's insane.
Don't quote me on that. I'm not. I just heard that. It might be per day. It's like per hour per day. One of those. It's still a lot.
Yeah.
So you're fighting and competing with the attention for the attention of people, and you're fighting, you know, with a crowded marketplace. So what I found, though, is that the purpose of a social media post is to drive somebody into your email list.
Got you. That's the direction I should be shooting in.
That's the direction you should be thinking about. How can I take this short form video, which I think short form video is over the next several years, it's going to continue to dominate.
Yeah.
It's going to continue to be where most people consume their, you know, content.
Okay.
If you look at it, I just heard a statistic yesterday that if you're on your cell phone, if you're looking at your phone,
yeah,
chances are 80% of the time you're on your phone, you're looking at short form video.
80% of the time.
80% of the time.
Wow.
I've read that, and I've seen various, you know, statistics on this. So I don't know which one to believe, but one of them said 50% of all internet traffic is now short form video. And wow. I've even read as much as 90% of all internet traffic is short form video. So probably what's the answer? It's somewhere in between. Regardless of what the actual number is, we know it's a huge amount.
Huge amount.
It's a huge amount. So if you want to really be reaching a lot of people,
yeah,
driving a lot of people into your email list, you've got to get good at and figure out how to be effective on social media, particularly with short form video.
Got you.
Okay. Now, what else I can tell you beyond that? I don't have it figured out yet.
Okay.
So here's what I'm doing. I'm studying. I'm learning. I'm watching podcasts. I'm getting on consultation calls with people who are specialized in short form social, short form video.
Yeah.
I'm taking courses on it. I'm like, okay, what I've been doing, it's been modest in its success. You know, I've had a video go 100,000. I've had a bunch of videos do 4, 5, 6, 8, 10,000. I've had a bunch do 200, 300 views and do the bare minimum, right? So I haven't got it figured out, but what I am willing to do, and I have recognized that this is the future, this is where the attention is. So yeah. I've just simply got to get better. I've got to figure out how can Jack modify his content, modify his approach, so I'm giving them what they want versus, how I want to do it. Like, I want to do educational videos where,
right.
It's kind of like my podcast, but maybe like in a minute and a half, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really what they want to see. They want something different than that. They want something shorter than that.
Shorter nuggets.
So I've got to figure out how can Jack serve the audience and get myself in front of more people so I can drive more people into my longer form content where they can really get to see the real me. They can really get to see what I'm made of. They can really see that they can trust me. They can see that I have credibility and that I can help them to solve their problems.
That's really good because it's like starting small and it's just short funnels into the full picture, the full value.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly.
It's really good.
As far as personal branding, okay, what else can I tell you, buddy? Where else do we want to go with this?
Yeah, besides personal, which was great. Thank you for those gems. Besides personal branding, I want to ask, you being huge in real estate and just absolutely crushing it. Me at 24, aside from being a financial advisor, real estate is definitely an area that I want to involve myself in the long term and maybe in the short term as well. What would you say is a great start for someone who's 24 years old and in the space that I'm in?
No, that's good. So here's the big thing. Okay. We've got to first decide if we want to be an active real estate investor or we want to be passive. Mm-hmm. So an active investor is somebody that is going out and they're looking at properties. They're scouting out properties. They want to do, like a fix and flip type scenario, or they want to maybe do a fix and hold where they go out and they look at a bunch of deals. They buy something that needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
Typically, you got to buy those all with all cash because most banks won't finance those because they're not a good quality asset. Like
right.
You put property that really needs a hug and some love, you put that in front of a bank and an appraiser. I mean, there's no way they're not going to lend if it's a asset that is really in distress, right?
Right.
Like I said, it could be you're fixing something up and then you're going to sell it on the open market, probably like on the MLS network. And you're selling that to a retail buyer, or maybe you're going out and fixing it up and you're just going to hold it
for,
your own rental income, building your own passive income portfolio. Or maybe, what we do at High Return Real Estate is, we go up and fix up a property and get it stabilized and get it cash flowing. And then we sell it, flip it to an investor that wants to be passive and wants to hold it for, they just want to buy and hold the property, right?
Got you. Okay.
So those are the kind of the ways to do active, or you could be an active investor in terms of you want to wholesale properties. So that's essentially where you're a matchmaker. You're the one that's going out and you found the deal. And then you also found the investor, the buyer. So you're matching up the deal to the end investor buyer for doing that, for matching those up, you know, you usually get a nice, you know, wholesale commission, which could be, you know, it could be a couple thousand, it could be 15, 20. I mean, there's people that wholesale deals that make, you know, 50 to 100,000 on a deal.
Right? That's awesome in that transaction. Yeah. Like a human connector.
Yes. You're being a human connector. When I first got started in real estate, I came in because I wanted to be a passive investor. I was busy with my nutrition marketing business. I wanted to get into real estate because I wanted to diversify my portfolio. I knew that real estate has produced more millionaires than any other asset class in human history. So for many of those reasons, you know, I wanted to build up my own, you know, buy and hold portfolio. And then I started getting great returns. And then I spotted an opportunity. I started referring other investors. Essentially, I started wholesaling without even realizing that I was intentionally wholesaling. And so I ended up doing around five to 7 million in wholesale business. Just in the first 18 months, because I had built up over the past 20 years a set of people, of relationships of people that knew, liked, and trusted me, right?
That's awesome.
And on the other end, I found deals. I found deals that were producing really good, strong returns.
Yes.
So I just pitched people on, hey, I found some deals. This is what I'm doing. I'm putting my own money in it. I'm getting great returns. And so I matched them up and I started creating some nice, really nice side hustle income.
It's pretty awesome.
So that's the big question is, you know, do you want to be an active investor? Or do you really want to be a passive investor where you're just putting your money in and you're not really doing, you know, so much effort. You're not putting in a lot of time, energy, maybe a bit, but not, you know, maybe like really, really part-time. To kind of just to manage your portfolio,
right?
But that's a question for you. What are you looking to do?
Gosh, you know, currently I'm looking to dive into the short-term rental space. So kind of getting renters, so that passive income, that passive cash flow.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't that be considered active? Because
it'd be more passive investing. I mean, are you looking to go out and are you going to look out, go out and try to find your own deals? Like you're going to look at a bunch of deals and then you're going to fix up the property if it needs construction. You're going to hire construction teams.
Right.
You're going to find your own property management company, maybe even self-manage. Definitely.
That's active. Yeah.
That's more active. Yeah.
Definitely. In the space that I'm in right now, what I'm looking to accomplish really is, which is my first step in real estate, if you will. Is finding a property to buy.
Yep.
And then upkeeping it, maybe renovating it, putting lavish furniture in it that's appealing to the public eye, mm-hmm. and then putting that space on a platform and getting people in that space to rent it out.
Yeah. Now, here's the question. Do you want to be doing that yourself or do you want to have somebody else that does all that for you?
I just definitely want to have somebody else do that for me.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I maybe do it once just to see what that looks like, but definitely do not want to continue to do, because the goal is to do that multiple times.
For sure. Yeah. No, I'm definitely tracking you. The thing is, for most people that they need to be really, really aware of is what's called the distraction factor.
Mm.
Right. So when you're in a startup phase, especially, and you're in startup phase in your financial practice,
right?
You're ramping up, you're hungry for clients, you want to make an impact, you want to manage, build up a nice book, you know, you're in the startup phase of your business.
Yes.
And to go out and then distract yourself from that,
yeah,
do something else that then is going to require a lot of time and energy and thought, and you know, it's just going to be very distracting. And what ends up happening is the money that you could save by doing that, all those things yourself, you know, you're going to probably get a better deal because you're putting in more of the effort and the sweat equity and all that. But the money that you save on that, typically what I've found, does not equal the amount of money that you would lose by getting off track and getting distracted from your own deal, staying in your lane, so to speak.
Right.
So I would definitely say, you know, you really want to be passive. until your business is very, very well established. You've got a really, really strong book. You've got a lot of excess cash flow. You've got a lot of your systems dialed in, you know, all of that. I really honestly would say, yeah, you definitely want to be on a passive level.
Passive side.
If we look at that, okay, how do we do passive, right? There's three ways you can do passive.
Okay.
You can do the first level, which is the most passive for a new real estate investor, which is crowdfunding.
Okay.
Okay. So this is where a crowdfunding is a platform like Fundrise. I really like their platform. I think they're great. I've done research on them. I feel really good about recommending that platform. I don't get any sort of affiliate or referral commission, just full transparency. Okay. I just think it's a great platform for beginning investors because it takes a lot of the risk out for you. Now, there are downsides to it. You know, you're not able to use leverage or debt. You're a lot more limited on the different benefits of real estate when you do it. But at the end of the day, I mean, the track record of that platform is a consistent, you know, 8 to 12%, you know, return on investment.
Wow.
And, you know, that's very, very strong.
Yeah,
you
know, not shabby at all.
It's not shabby. Now, when you're in those platforms, you know, what you're doing is essentially pooling your money with a lot of other investors that are putting in small amounts of capital. So you could get started in a Fundrise account. And you know, I did it just to test it out. I think I've got $100 on Fundrise. So it's not it's not going to produce any meaningful wealth for me soon, but I really wanted to go through the process and just understand it so that I could help, you know, people that it would make more sense for, which is more beginning investors that want to start getting exposure into the real estate asset class on a very, very passive level.
Definitely.
So that would be a good place. Now, the downside to that is that you also, not only can you not leverage it and use bank debt, which I think helps you to, you know, in real estate world, that helps you to buy more properties, control more properties, and amplify your returns.
Yeah.
And the other downside is that your money is locked up for once it's in those funds, it's not liquid.
Got you.
Yeah. Usually you have like a 2-3, you know, it could be even a 4-year hold time where your money is just not liquid. You're not able to, you know, like on the stock market, you can't sell it. But that's where, you know, I'd probably park some cash in the short term and you get your real estate exposure very, very passively. So that's level one. Okay. The next level is actually just buying a turnkey property, a rental property. That's, we call it turnkey because this is where everything's already been done for you. The property's already been, you know, it's acquired. It's already been rehab. So everything's already been done. The construction wise, there's already a property management company in place.
Wow. You're
buying a property that is done, cash flowing, and there's really not that much risk involved. Your main primary risk is the market movement.
Got you.
Okay. Yep. So in other words, when you buy a turnkey property, you took away the three main risks of real estate investing, which are acquisition. You're buying a property too high, meaning paying too much for a property that still needs a lot of work. You're taking away the construction risk, which is hiring contractors that end up screwing you over. We've had that done plenty of times to us.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating. Yep. And the third is, you know, the risk is the management team. Typically, management makes or breaks your cash flow on your property. You need a good management team. So, you know, I've experienced very poor management teams that, you know, they don't really pay attention to your property. They don't care that much. They're not professional. And you end up, you know, you don't do well because the management sucks. So a turnkey property typically mitigates those three risks. It allows you to buy an asset that's already cash flowing from day one. And, you know, your primary risk are, of course, in real estate, well, things break, your roof could go out, your sewage, you know, pipe underneath the lawn could go out and break, you know, your foundation could start to sink. You could have many, many things that can go wrong on a rental property. That's, you know,
that's just the nature of it.
That's the nature of the beast. Right?
Yeah.
But
seems like a slam dunk.
Yeah, typically you're not going to have any major expenses or what they call CapEx when you buy a turnkey property because you're getting a property that's already been you know, rehabbed. It's already been checked out. It's already been inspected. So it's probably got a new roof. It's probably got all new mechanicals. Foundation's probably super solid. You know, all these things that could eventually could really hurt you in the short term if they go wrong, if they break down. Those are typically not going to happen on a turnkey deal.
Okay.
So then when I say the market risk, well, you know, you could be buying into the market at a time where the market is peaked, and then, you know, the market softens, the Fed goes nuts and raises interest rates
much higher
than we are at today. Yeah. And that could hurt your property value. However, even in the worst market in the last 100 years, in 2008, the worst markets were dropped like 30%.
Okay.
Whereas, and that wasn't all markets. And, you know, if we look at what happened since the Fed's been raising interest rates, a lot of people thought the housing market would crash. I was not one of them. In fact, on my show, I said, the market's not going to crash, you guys. It's going to correct, but it will not crash. There is way too much. There's too much lack of supply in the housing market, and there's still too much demand.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, yeah, it's not going to crash. Even if they raise interest, they've raised interest rates, what, 16 times the basis? Well, do you know what it was? It was pretty high, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean.
It was at 0.25 basis, and then it's been raised like 13 to 16 times that.
Since, right.
Yeah, just in the last, you know, 8 to 10 months. That's crazy raise.
It's a very interesting time for sure. Yeah.
It is. It makes it very challenging as an investor. So that's turnkey, right? And that's kind of level two. Then level three is the ultimate goal. This is where you're playing Monopoly.
Okay? Saving the best for last. Okay.
Yes. When you play Monopoly, you play the game, right?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the goal of Monopoly? Like, what's the strategy that you're trying to do? Trade the four greenhouses in, you get one red hotel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when people land on your property, when you have one greenhouse on it, you get a little bit of rent. It's not a game changer.
Right.
You go to four houses, you get substantially more rent. But when you trade that thing up, you get a red hotel on that property, and you control like all the properties in that group, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Boardwalk and Park Place.
Yes.
Somebody lands on your red hotel. Game changer.
That's huge.
The game changes. Like,
oh my gosh,
you know, you could be losing the game and it looks like you're going out and somebody lands on your red hotel.
Poof.
Well, poof. Yeah. Now poof. You're back in the game.
Man.
And that's the way I look at category three, which is syndication. So syndicated deals are where you're taking, it's kind of like crowdfunding where investors are pooling their capital together, but it's a much smaller number of investors that are pooling much larger amounts of capital together.
Got you. What's a typical amount for an individual?
Yeah, most syndicated deals are 50K min. I mean, there are some I've seen at 25. That's almost the bare minimum. I don't see a lot of those. Typically, if somebody is an established syndicator, you know, they're the manager of all the deals and funds and then, you know, finding the deals, they manage that whole process. They're typically going to, you know, if they're established, they have a great track record, they're going to phase out. They're not even going to be offering 25K.
Right.
The syndicators that I work, they're at the point where they're so good. Their track record is so strong. They have so many, you know, investors in their pool. They're at 100K minimum now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you become an expert. You can do those types of things.
Yeah, I know. Like we're potentially some point down the road, but we're still probably a few years down from being able to pull anything like that off ourselves. It's very complicated to be able to set those types of things up.
Yeah.
But what I like them for and why that's my biggest asset overall, like the most amount of money I think I've got of all my investable cash, 25-30% of it is in syndication investments.
Wow.
That's how much I like it. I believe in it. And how strong it is. So what happens in syndication is that you're 100% passive. All you think you have to do is sign some subscription docs and wire your funds. And then there's really nothing for you to manage. There is nothing for you to do.
Wow.
There's no distraction factor. You have nothing to, no price movement to distract you. You know, there's people when they were crypto was booming. I mean, they're checking accounts 16 times a day.
All day long.
Right? Yeah, just refresh. Crazy. Where's it at? It's moved. It's up. Right. Well, that's distracting you from your business. That's distracting you from making money because you're thinking 100%. About that, right? 100%. I was guilty of that for a couple of months.
We both were.
It was fun while it lasted. Yeah,
definitely.
It'll come back, but I'm going to make sure I'm not checking it multiple times a day. I know that. I'm making it harder for me to get at those apps on my phone. So I can't
check. Oh, you're like locking like the time lock?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are good.
Yes. That's what's happening. So when you do a syndicated investment, typically the returns are much stronger. You know, for example, the self-storage fund that I've invested into the last 10 years since I met my buddy Sean on a vacation in Cabo, that's how I got into syndication and learned about it. He was running a self-storage deal. That's returned 25% annualized returns for the last decade.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible track record. That's stronger than Warren Buffett's, who's considered the greatest investor?
The greatest investor of all time.
It's stronger than him. Now, of course, he did it over 50, 60 years, and this is over a decade period, but still, I mean, it's an incredible track record.
It's impressive. So
I feel very, very comfortable. I sleep well at night with that in my portfolio. I know they're going to do exactly what they've done for the last 10 years. They know how to buy smart. They know how to get the assets, you know, fully cash flowing. They know how to find a pension fund or a retirement fund to sell those buildings to once they're fully cash flowing. And those, when they sell them out, that's when, you know, investors double their money essentially for whatever they bought in at. They doubled it. So if you do that in a 4-year period, you double your money, you know, you're at a 25% annualized return, right? So that's kind of the game of real life big boy Monopoly that I've played. I didn't start off with crowdfunding. I don't even think when I first started in real estate that it was even an option. It really just started getting big when the regulations passed around 2015.
Yeah.
And it became a legal way under the regulations for people to get involved in real estate. So I've never built up my portfolio. So I really started on step two. I bought turnkey properties.
I
built up a nice portfolio of those. I held them for many, many years.
Okay.
And I let the market naturally appreciate. I let the tenants pay down all of my debt that I had against those properties. Was able to buy more.
So they paid down your debt, and then you started to profit, and then you just bought more.
Yeah. Well, think about it. So the property is growing in value in both directions.
Right.
So the market typically appreciates by 3% per year is a typical, although over 2021, it was growing by 15 to 20%, right? In almost in total, like direct correlation or relation to how much money was being printed. You know, and every time the Federal Reserve turns on the money printers, you know, you can pretty much guarantee your property is going to go up in value. So it's a great place to be invested right now into real estate because, you know, although they have the money printers largely turned off right now as we speak, I mean, they're going to turn it back on. That's
eventually,
that's what they always do. So when that happens, you know, you can know that your property's absolutely going to go up.
Appreciate
market value. It's going to appreciate. But then you're profiting because it's getting paid down. Because when you get debt against your property, you get a mortgage to buy your property from a bank, you're on an amortization schedule, which means how quickly are you paying down that loan? So when you get a 30-year, which most people are familiar with, you get a 30-year mortgage on your home, you know that every single month you're paying a percentage of it towards interest, which is more interest at the beginning of the loan. And you're chunking down a little bit on principal. But as you continue to hold the property,
right,
you pay down more and more principal and less you're paying on interest. So every year that you hold the property, you're chunking down the debt against that property. So that's building up more equity.
Correct.
So I look at it as, yes, if property, turnkey property, rental property, it can provide positive cash flow. And I love that. But a lot of times that passive cash flow will end up going back into the property for repairs. To do upgrades.
Yeah.
When you go to sell the property, typically you're going to do some real, you know, extensive renovations to really bring it up to a somebody who's going to buy it versus somebody that's going to rent it. Those are two different kind of grades of finishes that you're going to do. So I feel like the cash flow typically, you know, gets kind of, a lot of times it gets eaten up and goes back into the property. But where you really score is just by holding the property for a long period of time, let the market appreciate, let the equity get paid down, the debt get paid down, which builds the equity. And then at some point, you're going to trade those puppies up. You're going to sell them off, and then you're going to take the equity out of those. And that's what you're going to put into your red hotel, AKA your syndicated real estate investment.
Wow. That's the blueprint.
That's the blueprint. Awesome. That's how you get, that's how you build massive wealth. That's how I've built millions of dollars and built indestructible wealth, is by just doing that formula. I have stocks. I have crypto.
Yeah.
I have all those assets. I have nothing against any of those assets. In fact, I have a Bitcoin mining company. I love crypto.
Yeah.
But what's the foundation of my entire wealth building strategy? Building businesses, taking the excess cash flow from those businesses, living below my means, being smart with my money, looking at lots of different tax strategies that I can reduce the amount of money that I'm paying to the government so that I can keep it for myself and reinvest that money, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And taking that excess money and parking it into real estate and then just holding that real estate for multiple years and letting it do its thing. And that is, it's a surefire way to create some incredible wealth. So Benson, what I see, what happened for most people, entrepreneurs especially, is that they never get past the first stage, which is live below your means.
Wow. Yeah, that's the first big step.
Don't you see it with your 20 something?
I see it.
You know, connections?
100%.
They're like, as soon as they have a good month in business, maybe even one or two good months.
Splurge. Yeah.
Like,
I don't know if it's a culture thing.
Dumbest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredibly dumb.
Yeah. And I know you and I.
Worse. It's what hurts even more. I did this, so there's no judgment. Okay.
Right.
But they go out and they just buy things that they don't understand, and they get way too risky of things. So when I built up my business in college, I banked 50 grand. I went out and I put all 50 grand into tech stocks. That was right before the 2000 dot com bubble burst.
Oh.
Which were you even alive?
I was 99.
Okay, you were 1 year old.
I was 1 year old.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, man, I lost half my money, and then of course I didn't have enough cash to live off of because I went into the real world, right? Where, you know, I bought a house, had a car payment, you know, like I was not living off my parents anymore as I was through college. And I didn't have the cash to sustain the life that I needed to live.
Right.
So I had to sell off all my stocks, and then, essentially I locked in those losses, right? Instead of just holding on, letting the stocks recover. This is what I see with entrepreneurs. I've seen it particularly. I saw it big time over this past couple of years. A lot of entrepreneurs had great years in 2021 when all the money printing was happening and businesses were just were booming, at least some, not all, right? Mm-hmm. Some were hurt, some really significantly prospered. And what did they do? They went out and put all their money into risky shit. They started buying tons of crypto, e-com stores, NFTs, all kinds of stuff that I'm not against doing at all. I don't want to, I do all those things, but I use my safe income from my real estate profits, my passive cash flow that comes in from all my investments, rents, dividends, interests. I take that money and that's what I use to buy my risky stuff. So if those things don't work out, which a lot of times they just do not.
Not really hurting wealth.
I'm not hurting. That's indestructible wealth.
I love that. That's really good. That's really good.
All right.
Thank you for that, Jack.
Yeah, man, for sure. So what other questions did you have? What else can we,
okay. So I'm at a state where, like, to be fully transparent, I'm getting a lot of momentum and like, I'm starting to really get some traction on this personal, you know, being a financial advisor, getting clients, you know, and I want to continue this momentum. How do you, when you started to first see some success for yourself, how did you stay balanced? You know, how do you not let it, I'm trying to phrase this question the right way.
How do you not let it get to your head? Or how do you keep your life like from getting totally out of whack? Like, were you putting too much energy and time into that? Or
how do you not lose that, which I don't think I will, but how do you not lose that it factor, that hunger that got you those first glimpses of actual attraction, actual success, you know?
Yeah.
You keep that fire going.
Man.
Like, how do you not get too comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
Is there an amount of money or a stage you get to where you're kind of like, sit back a little bit. You're like, okay.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs that I've seen over the years, they really struggle with that because like in my marketing business, right, you'll have people that'll hit the coveted diamond level where, you know, you're doing well, you're in the top 1%. And then it's like, they almost just kind of like feel like they've arrived.
Right.
They feel like they can coast. They feel like they're now set. Like, oh,
yeah.
I'm good, you know?
Exactly.
The money is just going to keep rolling in and every month I'm just going to be totally set. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you know, especially in a young business, it's typically not stable. You know, you haven't created a team that has lots of leadership. You haven't created a team that has a lot of personal development. You haven't built a lot of locked in your systems and your processes so that your organization can continue to grow and continue to thrive, whether you're there or you're not there.
Wow.
So how do I stay hungry? Because I still work pretty darn hard. You know?
Man, talk to me, Jay.
Yeah. You know, I'm 25 years in. I built two very successful companies. I have, you know, some really good investments. I have to do this, Benson. And it's okay to take some time off too. Like sometimes you just, you know, like, man, I'm kind of burnt out. I'm kind of like hitting this wall.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it is okay to be okay with like taking some time off and just kind of enjoying the fruits of your labor. So I don't want to tell people like, it's always grind, 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 and all of that. That is not a healthy life.
No.
And I think the biggest, you know, the biggest challenges in my life is when I grind, grind, grinded for too long and just didn't give my body and my mind sense a chance to really recuperate, to recover, to restore itself. And then that creates problems. That creates, you know, challenges. And it could happen in your health. It could happen in your relationships. It could happen in your physical fitness. It could happen with your spiritual life.
Yeah.
It can happen with your money. You know, all those things, if you're unbalanced, drastically unbalanced for too long of a period of time, then, you know, you can crash, literally crash, right? So how do I do it in terms of now? Well, here's the thing. Here's my opinion. And there's a great book on this. It's called The Second Mountain. The Second Mountain. And he talks about how, you know, when we're in our 20s, oftentimes, and even, you know, into our 30s, you know, we're very much focused on success, you know, and what is success? Well, success is what you get. So that's money, that's recognition, those are material possessions. We are so hungry for our own personal success. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with having that hunger for more, to want to earn all that we can earn and to max out and to be the best that we possibly can be. No, nothing wrong with that at all. But what happens is that typically we stay on that first mountain for a bit too long.
Okay.
And the second mountain is where your main goal is purpose and fulfillment.
Wow.
So you've had some success on the first mountain. You made some good money. You got some recognition. You got your dream house. Maybe you got your cars, right? You got a lot of those material things checked off, and then you realize how really largely unimportant that they really are. Mm-hmm. And this is where you start to say, I'm missing fulfillment. I'm missing being able to pour into other people. So what is fulfillment, right, really? Well, if this success comes from what we get, then fulfillment comes from what you give. So this is where we transition into on that second mountain of the fulfillment of the purpose-driven kind of life. This is where we're more focused on not what is it that I can get, but what is it that I can pour into others? What is it that I can give?
Definitely.
And that's what drives me now to do what I'm doing. Could I go out and golf every single day and absolutely be totally fine financially?
Absolutely.
I absolutely could. In fact, I did it for a year during the COVID lockdown. I mean, I golfed. I was golfing every single day.
Oh, man.
I was playing poker with my buddies, you know, twice a week. I was out on the boat and jet skiing with the family.
Oh, all man.
The time, right? Like, yeah, it was an incredible year of I'm just focusing on doing what I want to do. But while I was in that space, I realized, man, I've got an emptiness here in my gut, in my chest. Like, I've got this kind of void that I need and a hunger to fill.
Yeah. So
then that's when I fired up Indestructible Wealth. I said, this is my platform for giving back. This is my platform to pour in.
That's amazing. And
this is what drives me to keep me working hard, because I want to make a difference. I want to be significant. I want to do what Jim Rohn says is one of the greatest blessings of life, is when you have your name in somebody else's testimonial.
Huge. That's huge.
It is.
That's amazing. Huge. When you can say, and honestly, I love that we're talking about this. This is great, because I feel like one of my main driving factors is, like, the reason that I want to achieve so much for myself is to be able to get to a certain point where I can now start, you know, giving back, you know, helping other young, like you are for me. Like, this is, I'm probably never going to forget this call. Helping other young folks really achieve their dreams. You know, I want to get to a certain point where I'm pouring back into other younger, hungry folks that because you can see it in them, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. So that's really good.
Yeah. You know, you want to be pouring life into life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not getting invited on this because, you know, like, all you want to, like, I'm not inviting you on this because I saw something in you that I want to get from you, right? Like,
right.
I invited you on because I want to pour in. And guess what? Yeah, I get a little something, actually, right? I get some content for my podcast,
right?
Which, you know, monetarily, is that going to do anything? No, I don't think so.
Right.
But I really want to be that guy that I can say at the end of the day, man, yeah, I had a lot of success, but you know what? More important than that, I fulfilled my purpose. I had fulfillment. I had a lot of fun pouring into younger people that I've walked the path before them.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of things the hard way. And maybe, just maybe, by something that I tell them and that I pour into them, that if there's somebody that's hungry, somebody that's teachable, somebody that wants it, somebody that's got a work ethic, that's I want to pour into them. And then someday, yeah, I want to be in their testimonial. I want them to say, you know what? It was this conversation or this thing that you taught me that it made
changed it
difference.
All.
It changed. Wow. It all. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I think there's two parts to motivation, in summary, to answer your question. You know, you should be, when you're in your 20s, you should be hungry to work 12 hours a day without blinking an eye, day after day after day, because you're hungry for success. You want to make your life better.
100%.
And making money does make your life better. Nobody,
right,
anybody tells you that money doesn't buy happiness, I mean, they're just going to have it. They don't have any, they're full of shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Studies show that it does make you happier. Now, there is a point of where, you know, incrementally, you know, it drops in its value of making your life better and happier. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, you go from, you know, somebody's making you know, 500 grand a year, and then they go up to $1 million. That'll make their life incrementally better, but going from 100,000 to 500,000, that drastically makes your life better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
From $1 million to $1.5 million, that doesn't really make hardly any difference.
Right.
You go from $1 million to $2 million. I mean, yeah, that's great, but is that how much more are you going to be able to do? You can still do everything you want to do.
The same million
in your life with 500k a year, like you're going to be able to live an incredible quality of life.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is like, you want to be focused on and hungry for that success, but you got to know too, you're put on this, like God created you for something way bigger than your own personal gain, your own personal success. You were created to figure some things out for yourself and then quickly transition into a life of purpose and fulfillment by pouring into other people.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, absolutely. God does have
that was good stuff. I'm not going to
lie. That was good stuff. Yeah, God definitely has a bigger purpose, 100%. Yeah, I love that.
All right, last question, buddy. What is the final question?
I don't know. Money
round, right? In the
three-point,
you ever watch the NBA 3-point contest? They have money ball.
This is the money rack.
This is the money ball stuff. This is the last one.
This is the last one
of the set.
Gosh, okay.
Last double.
What should I be doing with my money right now? Should I be pouring that back into my brand? Should I, you know, crowdfunding?
It's certainly the question that comes up all the time. And this is the video that I produced on Instagram that I was telling about that got 100,000 views, which for me is massively viral, right? For some people, that's like, that's not viral, dude. That is like our typical views, you know, from our short form video. But for me, that was massively viral, right? And what did I say? Well, I said that, you know, when you're first getting started, you know, your main focus should be investing back into yourself. Mm-hmm. And I said, you really shouldn't be investing into outside things. Like, I don't think, my opinion is that, you know, when you're first getting started, you should be focused so heavily on outside investments that you can't control: stocks, bonds, real estate, crypto, all those things, right? My philosophy has always been, and what has created indestructible wealth for me, is that in those beginning times, all the money that I poured into myself and into my own business have created incredible 10x, 20x, 100x returns that have been, you know, maybe even infinite.
Wow.
The money that I put into myself, reading books, taking courses, hiring coaches, going to seminars, you know, to learn sales, to learn investing, to learn personal development. I was going to seminars. Well, I was in college and spending money on college, getting a degree, but I was going to James Ray seminars in Chicago for a weekend where I'm breaking a board, staying up, you know, I'm in the seminar room from, you know, for 12 hours to like midnight, right? I'm in those seminars. I'm going to Tony Robbins stuff. I'm doing all these extra things because the most valuable real estate is right here between your ears. It's your own mind.
Wow.
And so I would be focused primarily on putting that money into you and you're building your own personal brand. I wouldn't be thinking about too much else yet. And that's the fastest path to wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to watch other people? Are you going to hear stories about another kid who's 24 years old who put all his 10 grand into a crypto project and it went up to, you know, 100x? Are you going to hear that? Yes, you will.
Yeah,
you will. But guess what? That's going to happen to that dude. He's going to make it fast and he's not going to have the potential. He's not going to be the person that's capable of handling that kind of money because it happened too quick for him. And guess what? All your money, your finances, your investments will always come back to where you're at on your own personal development, where your own
level
of capability of handling that amount of money.
That is huge. So, I like that. That's huge.
I think you want to be raising your own internal money mindset thermostat and your capability of being able to handle greater and greater levels of abundance and being able to, when I say handle, where It doesn't disrupt your heart. It doesn't get into your ego. It doesn't give you a sense of pride. It doesn't give you a sense of I'm better than anybody else.
Yeah.
And if those things, my theory, I'm a rookie on God, but I believe that when those things happen in somebody, you know, he teaches you a very tough lesson. He kind of helps take it away.
Yeah.
And I've been in that spot in the past, unfortunately, where I think my pride and ego got out of hand, where I was really doing well. And guess what? You know, it didn't go away, but it definitely dropped substantially.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be working on outpacing, making sure that your personal development is exceeding your level of your income, so that your income's always, and your finances and your investments are always catching up to you.
To you, yeah. And not the other way around.
Not the other way around, yes.
That's so good.
So, yeah, man, just you're playing the long game. It's a slower process in the beginning. You're going to be tempted to, because other people are going to share their stories of how they went rags to riches fast by investing in something super risky, but gamblers are going to do what the gamblers are going to do. Gamblers are going to eventually lose their money.
Yeah.
And so you're going to play the long game. And by playing the long game, you're going to be like a penny doubling every day for 31 days, Benson. You're going to be slow in the beginning, and then it's going to keep accelerating. And then the last few days of that 31-day cycle, you jump from a million to 2 million to 4 million to, you know, 8 million.
Snowball effect.
Yeah, the snowball effect is going to be very, very real for you.
All right, man. Speaking into existence. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All right. Hey, well, I love doing this. This is great. I'm going to do this again. Awesome. Hey, you know, if you're listening and you guys like, man, I want to get this type of coaching and I want to get on the podcast and I want to ask questions and I want to have a personal, you know, coaching session, high value, you know, hit me up. I'm going to create a little jot form where you can apply to be on the show and you can get a personal coaching session like this. I think this is something that I think would be very, you know, valuable for the whole audience listening. They got to just hear, you know, like, oh man, like maybe they're not in the same position that you are, Benson, but I think there's a lot of people that can relate to where you're at right now.
Yeah.
And they're going to, just by listening to you get coached, they're getting incredible value that applies to them in their own unique situation.
Absolutely.
Right. So yeah, I'm going to definitely be doing more of these style of podcasts. So yeah, hit me up, you guys. You can just email me, jack@myindestructiblewealth.com, and I'll give you guys the jot form so you can apply to be on the show as well. So, all right, man. Hey, got to go watch Ohio State play Michigan State in the Big Ten tourney, right?
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
Who's your team?
Go green, baby, all day long.
Oh, you're forget this, man.
Come on, Jack.
The show.
Come on. No, we can still be in school.
My wife is she's go green. I'm go Bucks. So
okay.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna go catch the second half with her. And it was a pleasure to have you on. And
thanks for having me. This was great.
Man, I don't think we're not gonna beat you.
No,
you guys had our number, but hey, we got a chance. That's why we play the game.
100%. You gotta take a chance. This is great, man. I'm excited for it to be posted. I'll stay tuned.
All right. Awesome, man. I'll let you know. All right, guys.
All good. Have a great day.
That's it. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
As well.
That's a wrap for this episode on the Indestructible Wealth Podcast. If you'd like to dive deeper into your own wealth building strategy, check us out at myindestructiblewealth.com and follow along on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and yes, even TikTok. Send me your questions and your financial challenges, and I promise I'll respond. Also, I'll think you're really awesome if you'll share and leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, remember our mission here is to help you make, keep, and grow wealth you can enjoy now and for years to come.